This is the season of the year that we recite the Slichas, and the Gemara has a tradition that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vayavar Hashem Al Pana Vayikra that took place on Yom Kippur. Vayavar Hashem Eloshen Oivir Lefnei HaTevach Melam Hashem Nisat HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ketviyat Tzibur Moshe Rabbeinu had a Mara Hanavua. He visualizes as if the Ribbono Shel Olam put on a talis and he's davening for an amid. Vayavar Hashem Al Pana Vayikra Hashem Hashem Karach HaKadosh Baruch Hu called out Hashem Hashem Karach Mechanun, and he told Moshe Rabbeinu, he calls Moshe Rabbeinu, let the Bnei Yisrael do tshuva, let them recite the Yud Gimel Midos. This will be a method to accomplish kapara. So this secret was revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu on Yom Kippur, and on that day he came down with the Luch HaShnias, and it's because this was revealed to him on Yom Kippur that we have the practice that we recite many, many times over and over and over again. In each one of the tefillas and Ma'ariv and in Shacharis and the Musaf and the Mincha and the Nila, we recite the Yud Gimel Midos many times. The question is the Tosfos in the first parak in Rosh Hashanah, what different opinions, which are the Yud Gimel Midos? So the common practice is that Hashem screams out about Hashem upon a Vayikra, and then everybody pauses, and then they say, Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachman Chan. Why does Hashem, Hashem have that two Midos? So the Gemara says, Hashem, the first Shem Hashem is Kodim Sheyichta, and the second Shem Hashem is La'acha Sheyichta. These are two different Shemes. But then Tosfos quotes the other opinion of Rabbi Nissim Goyim, that the Pasuk should be read differently. Vayav Hashem al panav, v'lam Hashem nisat v'akadosh Baruch Hu k'shliach tzivi, he was over lefnei ha'teva, v'yikra Hashem, and Hashem called out, kolin, Hashem kel rachman chanan. So the second Shem is the first of the Gimel Midos, and the first Shem really belongs to the beginning of the Pasuk, Vayikra Hashem. So the way we have the practice is only according to the one opinion of Tosfos, that everybody says the first, Vayav Hashem Panav Vayikra, then the Chazan says, Atav Hashem Panav Vayikra, and a long pause, and then you say Hashem Hashem. So a recommendation would be that you shouldn't pause so long. You should, right after you say Vayav Hashem Panav Vayikra, you should say right away, Hashem, Hashem, Kal Rachman Chanan. So whatever the correct pshat is, whether the Shem Hashem are the first two leaders, or it's Vayikra Hashem, and the second Shem Hashem is the first of the Gimel leaders, you will be doing the right thing if you say it all together. But if you have a pause in between, it's questionable whether you're pronouncing the pasuk correctly. Also, it says in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, that the meaning in many communities is that when they do psicha for Kriya Sator, when they open up the Aron Kodesh after Shacharis, before Kriya Sator, so on some communities they don't have the meaning on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. They only have it also. Other communities they have it also on Sholosh V'Golim, that everybody says Hashem Hashem Kel Rachman Chan. You say three times Yud Gimel Midos. So that's not a problem to say three times Yud Gimel Midos. The Mishnah says in Brachas in the Megillah, the one who says Shema Yisrael, Haimam Shema Shema, Mishaskin also. It was only one God. So what are you saying? More than one Shema Yisrael Hashem Echad? There's only one Hashem Echad. So that's a problem. You're going to say Hashem Hashem Kel Rachman Chanun. The pasuk lists off Yud Gimel Midos, okay? But then you're going to say three times. You're going to say twice and a third time. Hashem Hashem Kel Rachman Chanun. What is that all about? So Rav Soloveitchik had to pay the many Achreidim have this. You shouldn't say Yud Gimel Midos three times. Unless you say Kiyam Malchesh or Kisa Rachman in between, you give a whole Hakdama. But to say Hashem Hashem Kal Rachman Chanan once and the second time and the third time, one after the other after the other. So a group of Achrenim have it paid. Rav Soloveitchik had the minhag also on Pesach Shavuos Sukkos when they open up the Aron Kodesh. You don't say Yud Gimel Midos. Just like it's a Yom Tov, and we say B'tabadobi Shalehei Dibucha Shal Shabbos Ki Dibucha Shal Chol. We leave out the tchina, so Hashem Hashem Kol Rachman Chanan is like a tchina. So he really, his practice was he in his minyan, he didn't have them say that on Pesach Shavuos, just on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. That was the minik. So the kids of Shulchan Aruch writes, when you have the minik to open up the Aron Kodesh, to say to you, Gimel Midos, whenever it is, and how many times he's saying, so he says you should always begin from the beginning of the pasuk by Yavar Shema Pana Vayikra. That's not the common practice. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch recommends like that. So the later Achrayim ask on the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, why? is he concerned about the halacha and the gemara called psuka de le pasken moishe, anan le paskinon, that it's not right to start a pasuk from the middle. So all the poskim say that derech tchina, derech tfilo bakosha, it is mutter. So here you're saying the yugim amidas, derech tchina bakosha. So why does that pose a problem? So it could well be that this is what the kitzur, he doesn't explain. Kitzur Shulchan Aruch doesn't explain why this is his own chumrah. It doesn't say in the big Shulchan Aruch that you should begin from the beginning of the pasuk. Could be that that's what he's concerned about. That you're going to start from Hashem, Hashem, kal rachman chanun. So the question is whether the first Shem Hashem is the first of the Yud Gimel Midas, or that's Motzi Shem Shamayim Avatola. The Yud Gimel Midas begins from the second Shem Hashem. And the first Shem Hashem belongs to Vayikra Hashem, Vayavah Shem Ampana, Vayikra Hashem. So maybe that's why he says, he recommends that everyone should start from the beginning of Pasuk, so that however you're supposed to read the Pasuk, whether you begin the Yud Gimel Midas from the second Shem Hashem or the first, if you start from the beginning of the Pasuk and say everything together, so you're safe. You didn't do anything wrong. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah learns that from a pasuk that there's a mitzvah to eat on the Erev Yom Kippur. And the Bi'ur Agro points out in Shulchan Aruch that there's a machlokes in Mishnah whether this mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur only begins on Wednesday morning on Erev Yom Kippur in the daytime or begins the night before on Tuesday night tonight. This is the root of the Bi'ur Agro on Hilchas Yom Kippurim, and the Netziv in his commentary on the Shultas has it more bariches. The Bi'ur Agro points out that this is the root of the two minhagim, whether you say long slichas or very short slichas on Erev Yom Kippur. So by the Eklis they say very long slichas. As you come closer to Yom Kippur, you say more slichas on Yom Kippur, you're going to say many, many slichas. And the minig in Eastern Europe was that you say only 5 minutes of slichas. Why don't we say long slichas? You don't even say a half an hour or 45 minutes like the other days of Aseres Mitzvah. So the reason why is because we have the mitzvah of Achila, and that indicates that Erev Yom Kippur is supposed to be a yontiv. So on a yontiv, you say, Dabadova, Shalai, hey, the Bucha Shal Shabbos, Ki the Bucha Shal Chol, you shouldn't say Tchines. So to say Slichas also on Yom Kippur, even though it's a yontiv, that's what Yom Kippur is all about. HaKadosh Baruch revealed the secret of Yud Gimel Midas to Moshe Rabbeinu on Yom Kippur. That's why we recite many, many, many times over each one of the tefillahs, many times Yud Gimel Midas. But on Erev Yom Kippur, if it's a yontif, so then you don't say slichas. So the slichas, you're supposed to be saying slichas at night, sometime after Chatzos, before Alos HaShachar. So that's the question, whether the night of Erev Yom Kippur, tonight, Tuesday night, is tonight also a mitzvah sachila, means tonight is also a yontif. So you shouldn't say long slichas tonight. So that was the minig in Eastern Europe. And by the Yekas, their practice is based on their assumption that the mitzvah sachila on Erev Yom Kippur is only in the daytime. It doesn't apply the night before. So just to be honest, night before tonight is Nishken Yontem. There's no mitzvah to have a beautiful meal, a fleshy meal tonight. You don't have to, no mitzvah to eat tonight. So there's nothing wrong with saying slichas tonight. So the rabbi has sworn and said that you should say more slichas, because the closer you come into to Yom Kippur, so it makes more sense that we should say more slichas. This whole period of the year, the Aseres Mechuba, we want to be Mekabel HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the Melech. V'yitin lucha kesem alucha. We emphasize a Melech HaKadosh and a Melech HaMishpo. We emphasize the theme of Malchius in the Bracha and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Melech al kol ha'aretz. We emphasize it in the Chasimus HaBracha. So Rav Soloveitchik said in one of his drushes, we offer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we want to give him the crown, Kesem Alucha. So does he accept the crown? So he said he's not able to accept the crown. Rashi quotes from the Mechilta on the Pasuk at the end of Parshas Bishalach, when you have the Machemes Midyan. So the Pasuk says, Ki or al keis ko melcham Hashem ba'molik midor dor. So Rashi quotes from the Tanoim and the Mechilta, why does it say keis ko? Why does it say kiyor al kisei Hashem yud kei bavkei? The word kisei should be spelled chav samach aleph. It's spelled keis, chav samach. And instead of ko, yud kei should say yud kei bavkei. Why does it have ein Hashem sholem, ein akisei sholem? Hashem moche zara shel amolek, kol zman that amolek is ba'olam. So the kisei means the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. His malchus is incomplete. So what does it mean? Kol zman she'amolek ba'olam, Amolek is still around. So the Rav Soloveitchik quoted a passage from the Zohar that it's not necessarily Amolek, the nation of Amolek. Why is there a mitzvah to wipe out Amolek? Amolek, the Zohar says, Amolek is a hemshech of the tohu vavo. Before HaKadosh, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, everything was tohu vavo, choshech b'nei tom. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu made basar mamaris nivra ha'olam, hiyorit, hirakia, and so on. But even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and he kept on chasing out more tohu vavo, he left over a little bit of tohu vavo. So the tohu that he left over, that's what we call Amolek. And the mitzvah that we have to wipe out Amolek, that's to help HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He created the world and he chased out 99% of the tohu. And he instructed us that we should wipe out Amalek and get rid of the rest of tohu. So what is the tohu that we have now? So the Zohar says that Amalek are uvdin the tohu. When people do averis, that's also like Amalek. Amalek was the one who was rebelling against Malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So kol zman that you have Amalek, in the sense you have Tzadik Ralo, Rosh Vatovlo, Ein HaKisiv Shalom. It appears as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not in full control. The Melech means that he's in full control of everything in the country. Of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Melech Ha'olam, means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in full control. And Melech Ben Mishpat Yamid Eretz, and the role of the king, the function of the government, the king, is to maintain law and order. Doesn't seem to be doing a good job maintaining law and order. Everybody's killing everybody else. There are murders and atrocities all over the world, and there are tzaddikim who are suffering and the shamim who are prospering. It doesn't look as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in control at all. So that's what it means, Ein HaKisiv Shalom. The throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is incomplete. Kol zman that there's Amalek ba'olam. So that's where Rav Soloveitchik said, when Melchemes Amalek was taking place there, in the end of Parshas Bishalach, so Moshe Rabbeinu was davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He held his hands up b'tfilo. And Aaron v'chur tamcha b'yadu mizeh echad. Aaron was on one side of Moshe Rabbeinu, Chur was on the other side holding up his hands, and Bnei Yisrael were menatzech in the melchama. So the Mechilta learns out from that pasuk that when you have Melchemes Amalek, whenever you have an Eish Tzara, or whenever you have Melchemes Amalek, so you have to have Tainas Tziba Tzor Shlosha. The Chazan shouldn't daven alone. You should have one person to the right, one person to the left. All three together should daven. So on Yom Kippur, we're doing Melchemes Amalek, as the Rav Soloveitchik said, because we're trying to do tshuva. The averis that people do, that's uvn the tohu. That's part of the tohu vavo also, that causes the malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be considered incomplete. Ein HaKisiv Shalom. So on Yom Kippur, when we're davening, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us do tshuva, and he should forgive all of our averis. We're in a certain sense fighting Melchemes Amalek. We're trying to get rid of the tohu in the world. So that's why it says in Shulchan Aruch that on Yom Kippur you should have two people to the right and to the left of the chazan, because that's mamish and Melchemes Amalek. That's the Rav Soloveitchik said in one of the drushes. We have a minig to go to mikveh on Erev Yom Kippur. In the Mate Ephraim, he quotes that the minig is that even the women go to mikveh on Erev Yom Kippur, and even the single girls. So for many years, the girls never read any Mate Ephraim. When they started in recent years, the last 50 years or so, the last 60 years, I don't know, they started the system that all the boys and girls go there itself for a year or two or three in between high school and college. So the girls are very learned, and they're reading Mate Ephraim. So when they came back to America, they wanted to go to mikveh on Erev Yom Kippur. So the mikveh lady said, "What are you talking about? We don't let single girls go to the mikveh." So they called up Rav Moshe Feinstein. That's how the story goes from 60 years ago. And Rav Moshe Feinstein said, "We don't have that minig." Even though it says Mate Ephraim like that, that even single girls go to the mikveh, we don't have that minig. Minig is that the men go to mikveh, the women don't go to mikveh. So the minig is that you go to mikveh on Erev Yom Kippur after Chatzos. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Chayyodom that you can go to mikveh on Erev Yom Kippur if it's within the last hour before Chatzos. What's the mile of the last hour after Chatzos? It's already, you don't say Tachnon. And any Erev Yom Kippur we treat as a Yontav, so we don't say Tachnon, even Shachris in the morning. Any other Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontav, it's only you only leave at tachna by mincha. Erev Shabbos by Shacharis, we do say tachna. Some chassidim don't, but in Shulchan Aruch it says you do say tachna in the morning. Erev Yom Kippur, you don't say tachna in the morning because we treat it as a mitzvah of suda, mitzvah to eat. So it means that we treat the Erev Yom Kippur like a yontif. That's why you can't say slichas, because in Eastern Europe they consider the yontif even at night. Not only on Wednesday in the daytime is a yontif mitzvah, zachil, even Tuesday night is also a mitzvah, shabbat, kavod, dikas, suda. One by Laila and one by Yom. But what is this? So to say that everyone should go to mikveh Erev Yom Kippur in the afternoon after Chatzos, okay. That we understand, that's in Hachana for Yom Kippur. Why? Where did he come up with this idea an hour before Chatzos? Where do you have a halacha that an hour before Chatzos is also considered in preparation for Yom Kippur? Very strange. The Moshe Sternbuch, in one of his Svarim, writes, Mekubal told him that it has to do with the international dateline. That the Baal Hamor and Rabbi Yehuda Halevi and the Kuzari and another five Rishonim or so all say the same pshat. There's a strange Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chof on the base. Rashi and Tosfos have a very difficult pshat. And the Baal Hamor on the bottom of the Rif and the Kuzari and this group of other Rishonim, they say a different pshat from Rashi and Tosfos. The Gemara is discussing the topic of the international dateline. Where is the international dateline? The issue, the problem is, as you keep on going to the east, so Shabbos comes an hour earlier. When you go to Eretz Yisrael, Shabbos is 7 hours earlier. You go to the east of Eretz, it'll be 8 hours earlier, 9 hours earlier, 10 hours earlier. As you keep on going to the west, Shabbos, you go to California, Shabbos is 3 hours later than in New York. You go past California, it's going to be later. So if you keep on going to the east, it's always an hour early. Keep on going to the west, always an hour later. So they're going to bump into each other somewhere on the other side of the globe. So which is it going to be? Is it going to be 12 hours earlier than New York City? Is it going to be 12 hours later than New York City? Which is it going to be? So there must be an international daytime somewhere. So where is that daytime? So the seven Rishonim, that was when the Miri Yeshiva was in Japan, they had that Shiloh. Where is the daytime and where did the days begin? Where's the first day by Yerev, Ayvaki, Yemecha? Where did the days begin? So the Chazanish wrote his whole Kuntres Yutchev Shoes at that time. And he explained the sheet of these seven prominent Rishonim, that it's the earth is a globe, the Gemara knew the earth is a globe, and a globe has two hemispheres by definition. A ball has two hemispheres. So we usually divide it, the upper hemisphere, the lower hemisphere, based on
axis.
The equator.
Below the equator. All we divided between the eastern hemisphere and the western hemisphere. The three countries, the United States is the western hemisphere, and Russia is the eastern hemisphere. So the halacha also divides the globe into two hemispheres. And Eretz Yisrael is on top of the upper hemisphere. So if it's on top of the upper hemisphere, so that hemisphere begins 6 hours to the east of Yerushalayim and ends 6 hours to the west of Yerushalayim. And this is what the Gemara meant. The Baal Hamor said, "This is what the Gemara meant when they said, Eretz Gevayim Mikol Harotz, Yerushalayim Gevayim Mikol Eretz Yisrael." What do you mean, Eretz Gevayim Mikol Harotz? The Swiss Alps are higher than all the mountains in Eretz Yisrael. So how do they make a statement, Eretz Gevayim Mikol Harotz? And what do you mean, Yerushalayim is the tallest location above sea level in Eretz Yisrael? Is not true. The Gemara says, the Ein Itim is higher above sea level, and when David HaMelech was interested in building a Beis HaMikdash, the halacha requires l'shichna sivushu uvaso shama, the pasuk in Parshas Re'eh, that the Rabbanim should try to figure out on their own where they should build the Beis HaMikdash, and after they figure it out, then they should consult the Navi. So David HaMelech, with a group of Rabbanim, worked on it, and they decided the proper place to build the Beis HaMikdash is the highest location above sea level, which is not Yerushalayim, which is Ein Itim. And then when he consulted with the Navi said, "You guessed wrong. You shouldn't be Ein Itim, it should be Venksef of Shachin. It's better, the Shechina should be a little lower than the highest elevation." So the Gemara knew that Yerushalayim is not the highest elevation in Eretz Yisrael. So how does the Gemara make a statement? Yerushalayim Gevayim Mikol Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara learns it after the Pesukim, that it says, Ki Yipol Mimcha Dov Al HaMishpat, Bein Dam Ladam, Bein Din Ladin, Bein Negel HaNegel, Dibei Riris B'Sharecha. If there's a friction in the community because of a machlokes among the rabbanim, They come to the Alisa Lamokim, you should go up. Wherever you live in Yerushalayim, you should go up, higher up. Go to Yerushalayim, because Yerushalayim Gevoyim, we call Eretz Yisrael. Go to the Bez Nagorol in Yerushalayim, whatever they paskin. Whatever the Bez Nagorol paskins is binding on everybody. So that's where the Chazal learned that, this din, this idea that Yerushalayim is Gevoyim, we call Eretz Yisrael. So the Baal HaMor says, yeah, Eretz Yisrael Mikol Haaretz means when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, what was on top? You can visualize the North Pole being on top, you can visualize the South Pole being on top, you can visualize New York City or Los Angeles to be on top. So the Gemara says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, what was on top of the upper hemisphere was Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael. That's what it means. Eretz Yisrael Mikol Haaretz does mean it's the highest elevation above sea level. Means when Hashem created the world. So what is the relevance of the fact what was on top of the upper hemisphere when Hashem created the world? The relevance is, where is the international Dayton? So 6 hours to the east of Yerushalayim. So that's what the Chazon Ish holds. So the international dateline cuts through Manchuria, it cuts through Eastern Asia, and it cuts through Australia. And that's the beginning of all of time. So that's what Moshe Shtermer quotes from Amakubal that he told them that Vilna is about 1 hour based on the meridians, I think you call it, the lines, that there's a 7 hour gap between Yerushalayim and New York and a 3 hour gap between New York and California. So there's a 1 hour gap between Vilna and Yerushalayim. When you're in Vilna, you don't daven south, directly south, you daven southeast, because Yerushalayim is 1 hour further to the east than Vilna. So that's what the Mekubal said. The Chayyada meant to say, you can always be toivel on Erev Yom Kippur after Chatzos, that's not a problem. After Chatzos, you're already preparing for the next day. How early before Chatzos can you be toivel? So if in one place in the world, in the first place in the world, it's already Yom Kippur, then even though you're in a different location, it's already good, you can already be toivel. So according to what he said, we who live in New York can be toivel 7 hours earlier than in Eretz Yisrael, because it's already Yom Kippur in Manchuria. The first place in the world that already is Yom Kippur. And in California, they can be toivel. They can go to Mikvah on Erev Yom Kippur 10 hours before Yerushalayim, because 10 hours before, it's already Yom Kippur in Manchuria. It's an interesting idea. Otherwise, you don't understand why Eichet Pesach. Where did the Chayyadim come up with this idea that 1 hour before Chatzos is also good? Why should that be a cutoff point?
When the Torah was given, so we learned that it was dafka not given on the highest mountain, and even there it says, you know, Moshe went up, Moshe went down, Moshe went up, Moshe went down. So why did the Chazal conclude that the Beis HaMikdash should be at the highest point if Har Sinai was dafka not the highest point?
No, David HaMelech thought it should be the highest point, and the Navi told him that it's wrong. It should not be the highest point. That the Beis HaMikdash has to be in Yerushalayim despite the fact that it's not the highest point. David thought, incorrectly, that it should be the highest location above sea level, which is not Yerushalayim. Then the Navi corrected him and he said it's not so. It's not the correct way. There's a Mishnah, there's a Perek in the middle of Pesachim that's called Perek Makom Shenogel. So it talks about different minhagim, different communities have different minhagim. So the Mishnah says, Makom Shenogel, it starts off with the minhagim have to do with Erev Pesach, but then it talks about general minhagim. So it speaks about Makom Shenogel, Lahadlek Neres, Be'erev Yom Kippur, Madlikim. Makom Shenogel, Shalal Lahadlek Neres, Be'erev Yom Kippur, E Madlikim. And Erev Shabbos, the Chacham clearly made a takonim. There are 24 prokim on Mashnayah Shabbos. The whole perek at Baba Madlikim. So there's a takonim the Rabbon on Lahadlik Ner Shal Shabbos. And we say a brocha on Lahadlik Ner Shal Shabbos. And on Yom Kippur, Erev Yom Kippur, it depends on the minhag ha'makom. Why isn't it part of the general takonim to be Madlik Ner Shabbos, Erev Yom Tov? either Yom Kippur is like Kedushas Shabbos or like Kedushas Yanda, one or the other. But how come there's no real din? So the Mefarshim on Shulchan Aruch explained that the Iker Mokam for Hadlokas Neiris Shabbos is B'mokam Achila. So you'd be able to eat the food and enjoy it better. So Yom Kippur is a tonus. No one's eating. A lot of people are eating. Cholim, Miskenim, Sukkonim, young children. A lot of people are eating. And in Shulchan Aruch they recommend that if a person has to eat better on Yom Kippur, he should say, if he eats bread, he should say Yalav Yoga in the benching. Okay? But officially, everyone's supposed to be fasting on Yom Kippur. Since officially, there's no meal, so the Chachamim never made a takana that you mechuyev to light Neris on Erev Yom Kippur, because the Iker takana was to have Hadlokas on Neris b'mokum achila. So that depends on the minig amokum. Then the Gemara says there in Perek Mokum Shenogush, the minig and the two mekaymes is basically rooted in the same issue. That there are chamisha inuyim on Yom Kippur. One of the inuyim is for the married people, Tasha Shamita is also. So the meaning in many communities was that the married people, Bedavka, do light candles because it's also l'shamish mitosala or aner. And you should have the candles in the bedroom. Years ago, they didn't have a bedroom and a dining room and a living room. The whole house was one room. So they had lights on in the bedroom, so they couldn't practice Tashma Shamita. And then again, the other communities was Medavka not, so you don't have any lights on, so you won't see how good looking your wife is, how appealing she is, so you won't have a desire to be with her. So the Gemara says the two min hogim, whether Medavka yes Madlikim, Medavka not Madlikim, are rooted in the same issue in order to have a harchoke, not to violate the inuyim of the inuy of Tashma Shamita. But because the Mishnah tells us in Mokum Shenog, it's only a minute, so that's why there's a machloikis in Shulchan Aruch between the Machaber and the Ramor, whether one recites a bracha or not. When we say Birchas HaMitzvah, we say Asher Kedushonu B'mitzvah Yisrael B'tzivonu. So we know that one recites a bracha even if you're fulfilling a mitzvah the Rabbanim. When you read Mikra Megillah, when you light Neris Chanukah, the Gemara says you recite the bracha Asher Kedushonu B'mitzvah Yisrael B'tzivonu. So the Gemara asks, V'hechem Tzivonu? It's not a din menachter. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't instruct us. He didn't command us to light Neris Chanukah, to read the Megillah. So the Gemara says, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to follow all the takanas that the Chachamim will make, and therefore it's legitimate to recite the bracha, Kiddushan and Mitzvahs and Tzimah. Shad is, what if you're fulfilling a minig? There's a minig, the light Neris on Erev Yom Kippur. So the Mechaber says on a minig, you don't say a bracha. And the Ramah disagrees on a minig, you do. This is a famous machloikis on Chatzi Halal Amash Chodesh. The Gemara says in the end of Masechas Tainis that Halal Amash Chodesh is only a minig. Rav was already an adult. He already had smicha. He was learning in Eretz Yisrael. He moved to Bavel. Rav and Shmuel were both learning in Eretz Yisrael. They left to Bavel in order to establish the yeshivas. The people in Bavel were very religious, but they were very ignorant of Torah. They were very ignorant of halacha. Then the Gemara says in Gittin, he also Rav le Bavel. After Rav came to Bavel, whoa, the level of learning rose tremendously because he made yeshiva in one city. Shmuel established yeshiva in the other city, and then they had all the Amorim. The whole Talmud Bavli was developed over a few generations. Everybody was learning. So the Gemara says, but when Rav came to Bavel, the Balabatim were very ignorant. They were making mistakes right and left on everything. They were cooking Bas B'chol of them, Machal Shabbos. They didn't know the Din, the Raisa, the Din, the Rabban. So Rav had to explain everything. So one fine day, on Rish Chodesh, Rav comes to Shul. And the Chazan is saying, halal. So he said, there they go again. They don't know anything. Who says halal? You don't say halal on Rish Chodesh. So the Gemara says, Sober Rav Lapsakinu. Rav is going to walk over to the Chazan and tell him it's a mistake. You don't say halal on Rish Chodesh. You never heard of this. And then they were davening. They were saying the halal quickly. And then they skipped the third chapter in the halal because on Rish Chodesh you only say chatzi halal. So Rav realized, oh, one kasha of our infants, the other kasha. How come they're saying halal? The answer is it's a minig, and that's why they skip. If it would be Medina, then they wouldn't skip, because all the prokem and halal are makdim zezeh. But on a day that you're just volunteering as a minig to recite halal, then you're not allowed to say halal shalom. Then bedavke you have to say chatzi halal. The Gemara has a comment. You're not allowed to say halal on a day when you're not obligated to. People say, what's so terrible on Yom Ha'atzmaut or Yom Yerushalayim? Want to say halal? Don't say a bracha. It says, no shalah bracha levatol. So Rav Soloveitchik said, no, it's not just no shalah bracha levatol. you're not permitted to say Halal Shalom, not only Haima Halal B'chol Yom, every single day. Whenever one says Halal on a day that there's no Chiyuv to, that's also, it's an Isser, you're not allowed to say Halal. So in order to take off the Isser, if you say Chatzi Halal, then it's Mut. So the Gemara says clearly that reciting Chatzi Halal on Rosh Chodesh is only a minig. So that's a big machlokes. The Tosfos quotes the Rabbeinu Tam that when we recite Chatzi Halal on Rosh Chodesh, we do recite the bracha, just like on the Rabbanans. When you do a minig toiv, you also recite a bracha, because minig toiv is binding mit the Rabbanan mitam neder. So you mechuyev mit the Rabbanan to observe this minig of reciting Halal. And what kind of a neder is it? So the Ramban in the Sefer Mitzvah points out that two types of neder. There's nedrei harishus and then there's nedrei mitzvah. So nedrei harishus, a person takes a neder not to eat the potato chips, not to eat cookies, he should lose some weight. So nedrei harishus, there's an essay, b'chol ha'yetzim et piv yaseh. It doesn't mean that when he doesn't eat the potato chips, he has fulfilled the mitzvah aseh. It means if he does eat potato chips, he violated an iser aseh. But b'chol ha'yetzim et piv yaseh is not a kiyum aseh, it's a lav abom echlal aseh, it's an iser aseh. But in Chumash Devarim, I think it's in Parshas Kisaitzeh, there's another parsha of Nedarim. That's Nedrei Mitzvah. Kisida Nedar Hashem Alkecha Lo Sachal Deshalma Kedoros Tirushen Hashem Alkecha Mimach Oye Bechochei Motzos Zach Tishmo Liasisa Kasher Natakal Hashem Alkecha Nedova Kasher Dibarta Beficha. So that parsha, that whole parsha goes on Nedrei Mitzvah. Person takes a neder to give his tzedakah. Person takes a neder to learn. A person says, I'm going to wake up early tomorrow morning and go to the Daf Yomi. He's going to learn in the morning. So that's a neder, l'dvar mitzvah. Neder to give a carbon, a neder to give tzedakah, a neder to learn. So whenever it's nedrei mitzvah, then mitzvah sechet tishma, that's a kilo maseh. Kol ayetz mepiv yaseh parshas matos, that's an iser aseh. That's what the Ramban says. The Ramban writes this to Taina against the Rambam. The Rambam counts, the Rambam has a klal in the Sefer Mitzvah. If a mitzvah appears many times in Chumash, you only count it once in the Minyan Mitzvah. So why is it repeated so many times? For emphasis. So it says several times, not the Idam. The Rambam only counts it as one loisess and not the Idam. It says four times you should put on tefillin. He only counts it as one mitzvah. It says twice you have to put a mezuzah, chsaf mam zuzas. Misech v'sheol, you only count it once. Tzitzis appears twice in the Chumash, you only count it as one mitzvah. You don't say, because the mitzvah appears twice in the Chumash, I should count it twice. So the Rambam says that to fulfill Nedarim is one mitzvah, even though the two psukim, Chol ha'yetzim et piv yaseh is in Parshas Matos, mitzvah sechet tishmar, I think it's in Parshas Kiseitzeh. So the Rambam said that's a kefil mitzvah, it's a repeat. You only count it once in the Minyan Mitzvah. So the Ramban Tainas against the Rambam. He thinks it's not correct. Chol ha'yetzim et piv yaseh is an iser aseh. Motzvah sechet tishma v'yasisa is a kiyum aseh. So they're different. So they should really be counted twice. One is a lav abom echlal aseh. One is a kiyum aseh. Rav Soloveitchik thought that the Rambam also agrees that they're very different. But he still thought that it's counted as a kefil mitzvah. It should only be counted once. But he thought the Rambam would also agree with the Ramban. So here, they developed a meeting in Bavel that Rav never heard of until he came to Bavel, that they recited Chatzi Halal Amr Shchaydish. So a meeting is binding midder Rabban and mitam neder. And what kind of a neder is it? Is it a neder nidrei or rishus? No, it's a nidrei mitzvah. So that's a kiyum aseh. So when you fulfill a kiyum aseh, so you say a bracha. So that's why the Bali Atos, no, there's a chiyuv midder Rabban to observe every time you have a meeting. Whether it's a personal minig or a community minig. So this is a community minig. They recite Chatzi Halal Amr Shchaydish. So that's why the Bali Atos held, you say a bracha. And the Rambam writes not so. The Rambam and the Chachmi Svarad hold. A bracha is not recited unless you're fulfilling a mitzvah, either a mitzvah or an atar mitzvah, the Rabbanim. But if it's only a minig, even though the minig tev is binding with the Rabbanim, mitam neder and nidrei mitzvah constitute a kiyum maseh, but still no bracha is recited. So just like there's a machlokes in the Chaban and Ramah, where the one recites a bracha on Chatzi Halal Amr Shchaydish, so too there's a machlokes here in the Chaban and Ramah, where the one recites a bracha on Hadlokas Aneris on Erev Yom Kippur. So Ashkenazim, the practice Ashkenazim, follow the Bali Atos of Rabbeinu Tam, and they do say a bracha. And the Svardim have the practice, they follow what the Mechaber wrote, that a bracha is not recited on Minhagim. In the Chumash, Yom HaKippurim is always described in the plural. Yom HaKippurim, the day of forgiveness is. In America, we call it Yom Kippur in the singular. Why is it written in the Chumash Yom HaKippurim in the plural? So the Ramah quotes a suggestion from the Maharif, Rabbi Yankov Weil, that it's a double kapora, kapora l'chaim, kapora l'mesa. It's an interesting comment that Yom Kippur is even mechaper on the mesa. The mesa did averis, so they're dead and buried a long time ago, so they also get a kapora on Yom Kippur. You find the Gemara has such a comment on the pasuk by Egla Rufo. It says, when you find a person was murdered, a Jewish person was murdered in Eretz Yisrael, no, then he go. So you have to bring an Egla Rufa, you have to measure the city, Ira Kroy Belacholo. We assume that the Ratzeach must have come from that city. The kurva of the Horuk to that city is considered a Bira, that the murderer probably came from that city. So the people from that city are mechuyev to get a kapara. So they bring the Egla Rufa, and then the Kohanim from the city recite the Tefillah, Kapar le'am chesol shepadis Hashem, please atone for the Avera that the Jewish people violated. Forgive us. So the Gemara has a comment in increases and Irias. The Gemara says, Kapalan Chesal Shepadisa Hashem. Hashem should forgive his nation whom he redeemed from Egypt. They were all dead a few thousand years ago. When they bring an Egel Arufa today, that's Mechapan, the people that died the Yetzim Mitzrayim. So the Gemara says, Ruya Kaparizah should the Chapar al Yetzim Mitzrayim. That the Egla Rufa is Mechapra on the dead people also. So this is a problematic comment. That Gemara is problematic, because the Gemara usually has a call, En Kapor LaMeisim. If somebody set aside a Korban Chatas or Korban Oshem and he died, he can't be Makar of the Korban as a Chatas or an Oshem after he died. Chatas Shemes by La Lemisa Ozli, you have to lock it up in a room and let it die from starvation. Salach HaMashi Messina. The same thing, Oshem Shemesa Baila. You can't makriv it as an Oshem. It's Korevoila. There's a din, Moisa Oshem Korevoila. But you can't be makriv it as a Chatas or an Oshem. Ein Kapor LaMeisim. And it's not only Ein Kapor LaMeisim, doesn't only apply to Karbonis. Tosis writes in Baba Kama, when a Shoah Amud kills an Odom, so the Baal HaShoah has to pay Koifer, says in the Chumash. And Koifer Yusha Solov. So the Gemara says payment of koifer is neither mamon nor knas. There are three different kinds of tashlumen in Parshas Mishpatim. Sometimes it's mamon, sometimes it's knas, and sometimes it's kapara. What's so significant? What is different about kapara than mamon and knas? Mamon and knas are different from each other. Mamon you say adras baldin kenei aidim dami, and the knas you say modi beknas is pot. So that's a difference. A few more differences. But what's the difference between kapara on the one hand and mamon knas on the other hand? The Tosfos has 6-7 differences, all based on various gemaras. So one of the differences is exactly this. If the Shoah Hamud killed an Adam, and before the owner of the Shoah Hamud had a chance to pay the kofar, he dies. And he left karka. So all the other chaybis that he owes other people, he borrowed money, he was mazik people, he was chayvalan people, his behema was mazik people. All the other people can collect from the Yorshim. If he only leaves metaltalim, so metaltalim, or mishtabdi lebalchayv, he can collect metaltalim from the Yorshim. But if he left karka, so the karka is mishtabdi even in milvah peh. In milvah peh is gogim in a Yorshim. In order to collect from the lekuchas, if the loive sold karka to the lekech, he can only collect if it's a milvah bishtar. Milvah peh, he cannot collect from the lekuchas. That's the Mishnah. The very end of Bar Basu, the very, very end of Bar Basu. But from Yarshim, he can collect even if it's a Milvah Peh. So let's say his behema was Mazik, he was Mazik, and he dies before he pays it. So the Yarshim have to pay if the father left Karka, so the Yarshim have to pay from the Karka. There's a Takonas Agoinim that his man is, even if he only left the Metaltalim, also he can collect. But before the days of the Goinim, before they changed it, the din used to be if he leaves Karka. So here Tyson says, but if the father had to pay kofar and kufar kapara, it's a different type of that. Neither mamon nor knas, it's kapara. Ain't kapara la mason. A mason is not going to get any kapara. So that's a telleth. Ain't kapara la mason is not restricted only to korban chatas and asham. It applies to any form of kapara. So how come you bring an egla rufa and you say kapara la amchas or shepadis hashem? You say, ruy kapara is a shetachapara al yotze mitzrayim. the Yotze Mitzrayim get a kapara whenever you bring an Egel Arufa. And you say Yom Kippur is mechapra on the Mesim also. That's why it's called Yom HaKippurim in the plural. It's a Pele. So Yitzchak Hanan has a big chibur on Chosh HaMishpat, so he has an essay about this topic. So he quotes a Mishnah in Makkos, in the second parak of Makkos, Elohein HaGolin, as all the dinim of Golos. The din is that one who killed the Shoigig needs a kapar, even though there's an accident. He still, if Menashamayim, they caused it, he should be responsible for the accident. So he needs a kapar, he has to go to the Ohel Miklat. And when he richts up Golos, when he sits in the Ohel Miklat, until the Kohen Gadol dies, that is his kapar. What happens if he dies before the Kohen Gadol? The Harig Bishkaga goes to the Ohel Miklat, and he dies, and the Kohen Gadol is still going strong. So the Gemara says he didn't get his kapara yet. Ein koyv and tzadik etzal rasha. So you're not allowed to bury him. Bikivri aboisa. His family lives in a different city. You can't bury him with the rest of the family where his grandparents are buried, where his great-grandparents, where the Jews are buried, because ein koyv and tzadik etzal rasha. You have to wait. You have to bury him in the Beis HaKfaris near the Ori Miklot, which is miyuchad for the Hargim Bishgoga. After the Kohen Gadol dies, let's say 10 years after he dies, the Harig Bishkoga dies, 10 years later the Kohen Gadol dies. So the man who's dead and buried gets his kapara, and then when he gets his kapara, now you can exhume his body and bury him to Kivri Abaisa if the family wants to. Because now he already got his kapara, and you're permitted to bury him, no isha of Abed Kaibin Sadiqet Sarash. So that's also. How can he get a kapara if he's already dead? Usually he's the main kapara la mason. So Yitzchak Hanan says he thinks that the klal is, if it's a korban, that's a kapara for that yochid, the one who is mafresh the korban. If it's tashlumei koifer, that's a kapara for that one yochid, the bal asher. If it's mises kohen gadol, that's a kapara for all the harugim bishgaga, a whole group of people. If you bring an egg la rufa, well, Yom Kippur is mechap, it's a kaporas harabim, kaporas hatzibur. So he writes a migu that the Yom Kippurim, a migu that the Egla Ruf is mechaper, or the Mises Kohen Gadol. Migu that the Mises Kohen Gadol is mechaper on the living people, so it's mechap on the dead people also. So Yom Kippur, there is kapor la mason, that's how the Ramah quotes from the Marival. He referred to it as Yom Kippurim in the plural. There is kapor lachaim, kapor lameisim. How can it be kapor lameisim? Because it's a kaporas atzibur. So Absalvechi thought maybe that's the meaning of the piyut that we recite in Musaf. After we finished all the Seder Avodah, so we say, these are all the wonderful things that we used to have, and now we're missing all of these things, and we have a few piyutim. And we say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a day, Yom, what is the lashon? Yom Simas Achva Vireus. A day, Yom Kippur is a day on which we're supposed to develop friendship with all of the other Jews. What kind of a din is that? I think that's the lashon. Yom Simas Ahavo Vireus. A day of friendship. Where do you see that idea that Yom Kippur should be a day of friendship? So Rav Soloveitchik thought, because it's a kaporas hatzibur, it's not a kaporas hayochid, it's a kaporas hatzibur. So you have to be mitzdarif with the rest of the tzibur in order that you should gain the kapor. So everybody has to be friendly with everybody else. That's why there's such a fuss. The Mishnah in Bava Kamma says that Perek Achoyvo B'Chaveroi, even if he paid Nezik, Tzarik, B'Shevus, and Boishes, his sin is not forgiven. Achihifai says Chaveroi. But then you have the Mishnah in Yuma also talks about everyone should be Mephai says Chaveroi on Yom Kippur. But already, when you Ba'avol someone else, that's the mission of Bava Kamma. Then you have to be mefayis the other person. You can do tshuva 100 times over, but the tshuva doesn't help. If you stole from someone, you have to pay back the money, be mefayis him. But if you don't pay back the money, or even if you did pay, even afa pisha shina, you didn't ask forgiveness, so then you don't get a mechila. So why does it have to mention it again in Maseches Yuma? So they should suggest that maybe that's what it means. The Kovid Yom Kippur, we want all of Klal Yisrael to be Mitzuraf Yachad, is one happy nation. Halavai, is one happy nation. Yom Simas Ava Vereus, that there should be a Tzibur, there should be a Mitzuraf Yachad, that there should be a Kaporas HaTzibur. Little children don't fast on Yom Kippur. The Mishnah says that 2 years before Bar Mitzvah, if the children are healthy, years ago there was an issue. Sometimes children were undernourished. Now in America, no one, they're overnourished. They're not undernourished. So 2 years before Bar Mitzvah and Bas Mitzvah, they're supposed to fast all day long. 2 years before, 2 years before, they're supposed to fast half a day. And before that, you shouldn't allow them to fast more because it can lead to a sakana. Younger children always like to show that they're knackers, they're just as strong as the adults, and they want to prove that, they want to demonstrate that they can fast. So you're not allowed to let a child fast a whole day, if he's even part of the day, if he's too young. 4 years before Bar Mitzvah, you shouldn't allow a child to fast. But little babies, you feed them the Yodayim. So the Menchas Tenach writes an interesting chiddush. We have a whole sugya at the end of Yevamos, Berek Heresh, that even though a katan shelo higil l'chinuch, a little infant, is not muzer to observe any mitzvah. There isn't even a din of chinuch. If he's so young, he doesn't understand anything about anything. Doesn't understand what it means about riolam, with mitzvahs and restrictions, mitzvah sese, mitzvah lesese. But you're not allowed to feed the young child chazek, you're not allowed to feed him traitors. Osa l'achila b'yadayim. Lo sachilu. That's what it says in the beginning of Parsha Samor. Emer alakonim v'yamarto lehem. Emer v'yamarto l'hazik d'olam alaktanim. That you're not allowed to be metami akain kotna. That the parents have to see to it, and everybody should see to it, that the kohanim, even before Bar Mitzvah, should not be metami l'meisen. A gadol is not allowed to be metami kotna b'yadayim. So the Menchas Chinuch thinks that you're not, if there's a chashash suffix, then you won't give the baby a bottle on Yom Kippur, he may die. So then, of course, you have to feed him. It's a suffix sakana. But anything less than a suffix sakana, the little kid is going to scream his head off. He won't get a heart attack, and he won't lose his voice. He won't be a suffix sakana. So you let him cry. You let the kid cry. You're only allowed to feed the child if it's a suffix sakana. It's a very strange thing. Until the days of the Menchas Tenach. Menchas Tenach was a little over 100 years ago. So what did they do? They always followed that idea. No one ever followed that. So the Rabbi Natam has all of his shittas in the Sefer HaYosher. So the Rabbi Natam writes, there are some chassidim, mischastim, doesn't mean what we call chassidim. Things that Rabbi Natam is before the Baal Shem Tov. So he says, there are those who are mischastim, they probably are from an ishtik. They won't feed a baby on Yom Kippur unless they think that there may be a suffix sakana. In the days of Rabbi Natam, these people had the idea like the Menchas Chinuch. So Rabbi Natam claims that that's utterly ridiculous, and he quotes the Gemara in the last Perek in Yuma. The Gemara says, you're not allowed to put on shoes on a child, on a young child on Yom Kippur. That's from the Chamisha Inuim. Not supposed to put on shoes. But the Gemara says, but if the child not going to be wearing shoes, not about shoes. The Gemara says about bathing the baby. In the days of the Gemara, they used to bathe the baby every single day. So the Gemara says, on Yom Kippur, also you bathe the baby, because we bathe the baby every day. So the Gemara says, what about the din lois hachilum? You're not allowed to be machal treifis even to an infant. You have to buy kosher food to feed a cotton shalai gilachim. So the Gemara says, since this is Haina Ravisa, this is the normal way to raise a child, to bathe the baby every single day, so that's not included in the prohibition of Lois Achilum. And Shulchan Aruch says, we don't have that practice today, to bathe the baby every single day. So if you don't have that practice to bathe every day, say Yom Kippur, you shouldn't bathe the baby, unless it really has a very dirty diaper. Then whenever the baby has a dirty diaper, we do bathe the baby. We don't want him to get an infection. So the Gemara said, the fair is the din of Lois Achilum, to a tinik even lo yegir l'chinuch, doesn't apply whenever that's the normal way to raise a child. So let's say today, if you won't put on shoes on a little child, on a little baby, what are you going to do? So put on sneakers, okay. But let's say years ago when they didn't have sneakers, so if you don't put on leather shoes on the child, the kid's going to walk, there may be broken glass, and they cut his leg, and they cut his foot, he's going to get hurt. So if there's a concern that the child may get hurt, if you're not going to put on shoes, the Gemara says you're not allowed to put on shoes. But in recent years, if there's a concern the child may get hurt if you don't put on shoes, then also, Haina Ravise. So that's what the Rabbi Natam says. You feed a young child. You don't say there's no suffix sakana. So therefore, the din of Lo Sachilim has to be observed. No. whenever it's Haina Ravise, so the whole din of Rosa Lachila B'Yadayim doesn't apply. On Yom Kippur, we have in addition to the, we have the Yisra Achila Shtia. And there are Chamisha Inuy, Achila Shtia is one of the five. And then you have Rechitza Sikh and Nilis Asandal Tash Mishamita. So Rechitza, it's also to bathe. On Yom Kippur, that's a big machlek. So Rishayim, whether Chamisha Inuy, Maro, Deraisa, or only Achila Shtia is Deraisa, and the others are Midirabon. So there are Tesis in Nida, quotes Rabbeinu Tam, that the other Inuyim are only Midirabonim. But her raya, the fact that the Gemara says in Edorim that there's only Chorus on Achila Shtia, there's no Chorus on the other Inuyim. So Rabbeinu Tam understood that to be an indication that the other Inuyim are only Midirabonim. And other Rishonim disagree. It's the first run on the last Perek and Yuma. We only have Rif on the last Perek and Yuma. All the earlier Perek and Yuma were all about the Akrobus HaKrobonis. That was the main, that was the center of attraction on Yom Kippur. All Avodah and the Beis HaMikdash. But the last Perek is all about the Chamisha Inuyim. So that's the Rif is only on the last Perek. And the first run on the last Perek is on this Machlokes HaRishonim. But all the Chamisha Inuyim are Deraisa, only Achila Shtia is Deraisa, the others are Midrabanan. So when is sometimes Rechitza is Mutter, it's only also if it's Rechitza Shaltainu. It's not Shaltainu, then it's Mutter. But let's say a person's face is dirty, his body is, he was bleeding, his body is all full of blood, so you're allowed to wash off the dirt. That's not called Rechitza Shaltainu. If it's to remove the dirt, that's okay. Or a person has pain. And he wants to soak his feet in warm water in order to relieve the pain, something like that. So that's, he's mitzdayer. So that you're allowed to do it, says the Shulchan Aruch. So what if a woman has to go to mikveh on Leil Yom Kippur? That's her night to go to mikveh, she's allowed to go. So Medina de Gemara, it says that kol chai b'tfila is whoever is tamei, and it's his time, not only married women. Anyone, it's the time to go to mikveh. Kol chavetfilas tovin kadarka b'tisha b'av of Yom Kippur. Even though both Tisha B'av and Yom Kippur, you have all these inuyim, the chamisha inuyim, and rechitza is one of them. But to go to mikveh is mutter. So the Gemara in the end of Shabbat, not the middle of Shabbat, not kufkof, not the end. The end is way further. So around daf kufkof and masechah Shabbat, Tosfos has two different girsas in the Gemara. So one girsa has it that the reason why kol chale v'tfila is tevmen kedarkan the Tisha B'av of Yom Kippur, and why is it mutter? Because it's not called rechitza shaltanik. Why is it not called? Because if you hold tefila b'zman mitzvah, that's a machlokes hatanoim in maseches nida. Do we say that it's a mitzvah min haTorah to be tevil in the mikveh at the earliest available opportunity? Or do we say no? If and when you'll be tevil, it'll become tor. But it's not a mitzvah to go to mikveh at the earliest opportunity. So the one girsa was in the Gemara, if you hold tefillah b'zman mitzvah, so then kol chavit tefillah tevon kedarkan the Tisha B'av of Yom Kippurim, because what motivates them to go to the mikveh is not that they're having tainuk from bathing, they want to fulfill the mitzvah. So if you're fulfilling tefillah shal mitzvah, if you hold tefillah b'zman mitzvah, so then it's not called b'chitzah shal tainuk. Tosfos doesn't like that girsa. They think that it's not correct. They think even if you'll accept the other opinion, tefillah b'zman lav mitzvah, and that's the accepted opinion. In the days of the Tanoim, it was a big machloikas, but the tefillah b'zman mitzvah, now that's Mishnayis in Nida. And the days of the Goenim, they write that the Roiv HaGoenim were noted to say tefillah b'zman is mitzvah. But in the days of the Baalei HaTosfos, the days of the Rishonim, the Roiv of the Rishonim held that tefillah b'zman lav mitzvah. Tosfos in the first Perek in Yuma quotes it was machloikas, the Rabbi Netam and his brother-in-law, whether we should pass the tefillah b'zman mitzvah or not. And general accepted opinion now is that tefillah b'zman lav mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah. So Tosfos in Shabbos around Daf Kuf Chav, Tosfos says, kol chavit tefillah tevlin kedakam b'tisha b'av b'yom kippurim, b'ikar adin, it's mutter, even if you hold tefillah b'zman lav mitzvah. Since the tefillah, what motivates me to go to the mikveh is not to have pleasure, but rather in order to become tahor. If it's the tefillah ha-metaheres, so the tefillah is mitzurif to the tahara, so that's already mafkir d'shem v'chitzu shaltanik. That's why it's mutter. That's how we pass. But then Tosfos points out that the Yerushalmi says, Yerushalmi quotes one Tana, and the Gemara says, kedai u'beis ha-lekein ala'abir ala tefillah achas bashana. Even though Tisha B'av and Yom Kippur should be mutter to go to the mikveh for all the tmeim, But the Churban Beis Hamikdash was such a great tragedy. Kedaihu Beis Alekena, the Churban Beis Hamikdash, we should be ma'abed tefillah achas b'shana once a year. If the tefillah comes out to be Tisha B'av, postpone the tefillah in the mikveh till Matzoy Tisha B'av. You shouldn't go on Tisha B'av. So that Tana only says it about Tisha B'av. He didn't say about Yom Kippur. But Tosfos says, but Tosfos writes, and Tosfos and Beitzer writes, that bizmanazeh, not after the Churban Abayis, is Tisha B'av changed. Bizmanazeh. The only people who go to mikveh all year long are the married women to be mata labailo. So if it's Tisha B'av or Yom Kippur, there's an Issa Tashmish Tamito. So she doesn't need the tefillah today to be mata labailo. And if you allow her to go to the mikveh, this may just mislead her to think that she's allowed to sleep with her husband. And on Tisha B'av or Yom Kippur, it's not allowed. Even though it's Leil Tfilosa. So that's what Tosfos says. That bizmanazeh, that only the married women go to mikveh to be mata labailo. So we shouldn't allow, not only on Tisha B'av, we shouldn't allow. Kedai beis alekein allah, but all of tefillah has moshana. Even on Yom Kippur also, we shouldn't allow the married women to go to mikveh. Like single girls, we don't do it in Shulchan Aruch. They quote the Ribosh. We may not allow single girls to go to the mikveh because it'll just lead them to sin. They're going to think that they're muta to have tashmish amita, but they're not married. So just like single girls are not allowed to be tevel, so married women on Tisha B'av Yom Kippur, it's also the tashmish amita. So we don't allow them either to be tevel in the mitzvah. Nilus ha-sandal is a machlokes ha-tanaim, where the sandal is only made from leather. It has to be megan. If you're just wearing socks, that's not a sandal. It has to be megan. But let's say you're wearing sneakers that protect the foot. So it is Megan. So that's a big machlokes hatanoim, whether that's considered a nal. Is it acceptable for chalitza? It says, v'cholza nala me'al ragla. She has to take off the nal from the foot, from the right foot of the yovah. So that's a machlokes hatanoim. Most of the Rishonim Paschim has to be leather. So the same on Yom Kippur. If it's not leather, there's no iser of nilas hasandal. And the same during Shiva and Avelis, and the same on Tisha B'av. If it's not made from leather, it's mutter. Not all the Rishonim hold like that, though. The Balamor Paskins, Balamor Yivam, is the Perek Mitzvah Chalitza Paskins, like the other Tana, that whatever is Megan has the status of an Al, you can do Chalitza with a pair of sneakers also. It doesn't have to dafka be leather. So according to the Balamor, it'll be an Iser to wear sneakers on Yom Kippur. That's what they quote. The Vilna Goyen recommended that since there are some Rishonim hold that all the Hamisha Inuyim are their Isa on Yom HaKippurim, on Tisha B'av, and on during Shiva, that's only a din derabbanan, but the respect the Chalitza, we're machma, Chalitza, Shada deraisa. So Yom Kippur, according to many Rishonim, also a din deraisa. From the Rambam would appear that all the Hamisha Inuyim are deraisa, not just Achil Ushtia, like the Rabbeinu Tam Shita. Rabbeinu Tam held only Achil Ushtia as deraisa. So the quote from the Vilna Gaon, it's kedai to be machma, yeah, but today the common practice is everybody wears sneakers on Tisha B'av and on Yom Kippur, and people are not machma at all. But the quote from the Gro that perhaps it's really kedai to be machma. Someone just called me before I started giving the shiur. He tells me his father-in-law is weak. Maybe his father-in-law is a kohen, he's going to bring him to shul on a wheelchair, he's going to duchen. Maybe he should, in order not to look for trouble, he's old and he's weak, he's in his 90s, maybe he should eat pachas b'kishir on Yom Kippur. I said, no, you're only allowed to eat pachas b'kishir. Chatzi shir is also manatar. To eat less than the shir is also an isa deraisa. Just that there's no koris, there's no malchus, there's no koris, but it's still an isa deraisa. You're only, the Minchas Chinuch points out, it's only permissible to eat pachas b'kishir if there's a chashash, at least a sofek, that maybe he'll develop to become a Chodesh Yesh B'Kasakon. So I recommend that instead of being Matriach, the father-in-law should go to Shul and he should duchen. He's going to be in Shul, he's going to say all the piyutim, he's going to knock himself out. I said he's an older person, deep into his 90s, let him rest at home in an air-conditioned room, let him lay in bed all day long, and he'll be able to fast all day. You're going to make him go to Shul, he's going to say the piyutim, he's going to knock him out. So then you're going to make him into a Chodesh Yesh B'Kasakon. Let him rest up. So they'll be able to fast all day. They had to have pachas mikashir. That's only when there's a suffix sakon. When there's no suffix sakon, there's no heter at all. On Yom Kippurim, the Gemara says that the Chazan recites in the Chazaras Hashatz, Chazan recites the Seder HaVoida. So it's interesting, when they had the Ish Iti to take the Soyer HaMishtalech to the cliff, and to push the Soyer HaMishtalech over the cliff. So there was a sukkah, every mil there was a sukkah, because the cliff was very far away. I think it was 11 mil away from the Makam HaMikdash. It was quite a walk. A mil is 22 and a half minutes. So he walks a long walk. It's a long hike. 22 and a half minutes times 11 to push it over the cliff. So every time he passes one of the sukkahs, the people, he's going way chutz l'tchum, but the other people didn't go with him. People walked a little bit to the first sukkah, and that's it. They said, next sukkah is very chutz l'tchum. But the Ishiti had no choice. He had to take the Soyer HaMishtalech to the cliff. So when he comes to the first sukkah, so they tell him, Hari Lechem, Hari Mayim, if you're hungry, if you're thirsty, we have food and we have drink. What does that mean, Hari Lechem, Hari Mayim? It's very unclear in the Mishnah. What are they offering him food? Means, if he thinks he's going to die because he's starving, he thinks he's going to die for the fasting and starving. That's what it means. Safet Pikoch Nefesh. It doesn't mean if he's so weak that he doesn't think he'll have the koyach to go all the way to the cliff. We would permit him to eat on Yom Kippur in order to be strong enough to do the mitzvah. Is that so? We know that bringing karbonis on Yom Kippur, bringing karbonis on Shabbos, is Deicha Shabbos. The karbonis is Mana Kavua, is Deicha Shabbos, Deicha Yom. So bringing the Ishiti takes the story HaMishtalech to the cliff. He's allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. Let's say the HaMishtalech isn't walking. He doesn't want to budge. So he has to carry him. He's carrying the behemah. That's, he can't say Achayna says Atzmai. If it's like Kofus, if the HaMishtalech is not budging. If it's walking, it's able to walk. And you carry it, then you say Achayna. Then it's a Machlech, it's Hatarayim. But they only say Achayna says Atzmai by human beings. They say it by behemahs also. But if the behemah can't walk, let's say the behemah is so exhausted, it can't walk. So the Ishiti wants to finish the Avodah of Shiloh HaSor LaAzazel on Yom Kippur. He doesn't want to do it Metzor Yom Kippur. So he's allowed to carry the Soyer HaMishtalech, even though that's a Malach of Hoitzor. So would you say that just like he's permitted to do Malach and then he's going to push it over the cliff, that's going to be Netilas Hashem. It's clearly going to die. The Mishnah says when it rolls down the cliff, it gets torn into pieces. There's going to be parts all over the place. There's clearly whatever Yishev Karbonis on Shabbos and on Yom Kippur, you're doing a malach of Netilas Neshama. So that's the din, that a korban shezman kavua is derech malachas on Shabbos. Would you say that since it's one kedushas hayayim of Yom Kippur, that's asas b'malacha, and asas chamisha inuyim, so just like it's mutter to violate the malachas to do the korban, and so too it's mutter to eat, because it's one kedushas hayayim, that's a chiddush. Is that what it means when the Ishiti passes by, every time he passes by one of the 11 sukkahs on the way to go to the cliff? So they 10 sukkahs. So they tell him, Hari Lechem, Hari Mazon, Hari Mayim, if you're hungry, you're thirsty, we have what to eat. Means if you think you need koyach to finish the Shiloh HaSoyer, he's allowed to eat. Or it means no, Hari Mayim, Hari Mazon, if he thinks he's going to die. Rav Soloveitchik had the same suffix. Regarding a moil, let's say there's a meal of bismana scheduled for Yom Kippur. So whenever you do a bismila, that's a malocha. The Gemara says, so if it's a meal of bismana, it's dechen Shabbos, dechen Yom Kippur. If it's meal of shle bismana, you're not allowed to perform it. So let's say it's a meal of bismana and it's dechen Shabbos, and the moil is very weak. He's able to fast on Yom Kippur, but in order to do, let's say, in order to do the bismila, he has to have a more koyach. He wants to eat an orange, like the boxers. They eat oranges in the middle in order to get instant energy. So would we allow the moyel to eat on Yom Kippur in order to be able to perform, in order to have more koyach, in order to be able to perform the bris milah? But you say, no, what are you talking about? Milah bisman is derech Yom Kippur, means derech de malacha, but it's not derech achila. You're not allowed to eat in order to have koyach, in order to do the bris milah. Rav Soloveitchik was misupik about that. Should I say that since the Yisr Achila and the Yisr Malacha stem from the same one and same Dushas Hayayim, that just like the Yisr Malacha is Mutter, the Tzarech Mila, the Yisr Malacha is Mutter for the Karbonish, is Manu Kavua, the Yisr Achila is also Mutter? Or do you say no? Pashtus in the Gemara is that it's no. The Gemara says Achila Shtia is never Mutter on Yom Kippur, even by Makam Mitzvah not. The Pashto says that it's not mutter. Anyway, that's a shaila, it's unclear. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that until he went to Berlin to the university, he always used to daven in Eastern Europe on Yom Kippur. He doesn't remember at all that the women would fall curtain. When the chazan would repeat the Seder Avodah, he doesn't remember at all that the women would kneel and there's a slush. The first time he noticed it was in Berlin. So he got him to thinking, how come they didn't do that in Lithuania, where he came from? So he thought that perhaps it says in the Nusach, they say, Rabbi Rakhanam, Om de Mazor, you call it the Kiyum HaMitzvah of Hishtachavoya is learned out from, it says, by Bikurim, Hishtachavisa Lefnei Hashem Malakecha. You should be Mishtachavoya in Yazor. Hishtachavoya is a special Kiyum HaMitzvah in Yazor. The women were never in the Azor. The Marsha Isha Bazor may not. The women went on the Zadim. The women were in Ezra's Nashim. And Rashi points out, based on Gemara, Ezra's Nashim only had Kedushas Harabais. It didn't have Kedushas Azor. Rashi explains the reason why the Chachamim didn't endow it with Kedushas Azor was the Toivas, the women. If it would have Kedushas Azor, the women wouldn't be able to sit. A lot of times the women are nursing or pregnant, and it's too taxing for them to expect that them they should stand. In the Azor, no one's allowed to sit. Even the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to sit. If you do Avodah in a sitting position, Avodah is possible, you have to do it over. But forget about doing Avodah, even if you're not doing Avodah, no one is permitted to sit, even a Kohen Gadol. Only the Melech from the Malchus Beis David is permitted. Ein Yeshiva Bazor, Ela the Malchus Beis David Melvah. So because the Chachamim didn't want to tax the women to require of them that they should stand when they visit the Beis Hamikdash, that they were never Mekadosh there, so it's not Shem with Kedushas HaZor, only had Kedushas HaRabayis. So the Kedushas HaRabayis, they were not Hakan of Am Hom, the Mazor, Hekari Mishtach Lamamot. The women were never in the Azor, the women were in the HaRabayis. So there's no Kiyum Mishtach Lamamot. So he thought that that's possibly the reason for them living in Eastern Europe. That they never had, he doesn't remember at all, that the women would kneel on the floor when the chazan got to Akhanim Amam the Bazarim. He doesn't think that they did, because that's not a Zechel HaMikdash, because in the Beis HaMikdash they never did that. The Mishnah says that the Kohen Gadol says, that based on the Psukim, the Kohen Gadol says the Vidui three times. First time he says Vidui, Shechotasi Aniyu Beisi, Beisi Zulishta, he says Vidui of himself and his wife. Then the second vidui, he says, "Ani abeisa b'nei Aaron am kadoshecha, all shevet kahuna." And the third vidui, he says, "Ani abeisa b'nei Aaron am kadoshecha, and all of Klal Yisrael." So the Mishnah says, because the Kohen Gadol mentions the Shem Hamfarash on Hashem Kapanale the Amcha Yisrael, he says the Shem Hamfarash. So that's why we say Akanim Amham de Mazor. But the Kohen Gadol said the Shem Hamfarash another time. In each vidui, he says Shem HaFarash three times. He says vidui three times. So he says nine times, he says Shem HaFarash. But then there was a tenth time that he said the Shem HaFarash when he had the Hagrola, and he established which of the two Seirim, the Shnei Seirim, Yom Kippurim, which one is the Sar Lashem. So he put the piece of wood on top of the beam, and he said, this is the Lashem. He said, Lashem Chatos. So then he also said, Lashem Chatos. He pronounced the Shem Hashem Kirchsav. So there the Mishnah doesn't say Akanim Amham de Mazor. So the Tversal writes on that Mishnah, it would appear that the Tzibra only kneeled on the floor in connection with the three times that the Kohen Gadol said Vidui, and he said the Shem HaFarash. But even though he said the Shem HaFarash when he said Lashem Chatas, it would appear from the simple reading on the Mishnah is that the Tzibra did not kneel at that time. But then the Tversal writes, you look in the Rambam, Hilchas Avodas Yom Kippurim, the Rambam says they kneeled four times. They kneeled the three times by the Vidui, as well as the fourth time when the Kohen Gadol said Lashem Chatas. So most of the Machzorim do not have a kind of arm four times, they only have the three times by the Vidui, like the Tversal Yisrael suggested, Shal. But the Baal HaTanya has, he added it the fourth time in the Siddur. But he says the minig is that the people are not mishtachve more than three times. Minig and Nishul, you only kneel three times. Rav Soloveitchik thought we should follow the Baal HaTanya, that we should say four times a kind of Amham the Bazar, and we should kneel on the floor all four times, in addition to Aleinu. We should kneel four times in the middle of the Seder Avodah. One of the few Achrayim that Rav Soloveitchik was familiar with was the Sefer Malbushe Yontif. He told us the reason why he was familiar, because the Malbush Yantef was a rabbi in the city Chaslavich, where he was born. So there were copies around the Beis Medrash of the Sefer, so he used to sometimes quote. He wasn't that familiar. So Shadus and Shuvah Sefer. So he would sometimes quote things from the Malbush Yantef. So the Malbush Yantef has the following kasha. The Gemara says, "Can you make a comment on the pasuk? Cholish liyeh, chol adam liyeh be'ol moed, v'ol lechapa b'kodesh ad seisa." No one's allowed to be in ol moed when the kengoro goes in to do the avoda on Yom Kippur. When he goes in lefnai v'lefnim, when he goes into ol moed, no one else is allowed to be there. And that then doesn't only apply, the chumash only has it on Yom Kippur. But the Gemara learns that not only does it apply on Yom Kippur, it applies all year long when the kohen goes in to do Haktoris, Haktoris every day, in the morning and in the evening. Also, no one's allowed to be in the Ohel Moed when the Kohen, not the Kohen Gadol, when the Kohen does the Haktoris, Haktoris every day. But the Mishnah tells us, the Pasuk says, no one's allowed to be in the Ohel Moed from the time that the Kohen Gadol walks in till the time that he leaves. Not only when he does the actual Haktoris, Haktoris, Lifnai, Lifnin, and Haktoris in the Azar. Not only when he's doing the Avodah, from the time he enters to the time he leaves, that's a longer period of time. And the Mishnayos have, in Maseches Tamid, every single day, they used to have a pious, they used to have a lottery, who has the right to do all the different Avodahs every day. And it says when the Kohen would go into the Heichal in order to be mocked to the Ktoris in the morning and the evening, we'd always have another Kohen go with him until he was about to do the Avodah of Haktoris, Haktoris, then the other Kohen would leave. So the Malbush Yantef is bothered with Akasha, but the Pasuk says, B'vo l'chapa b'kodesh ha'tzeser, from the time that he comes in to the time that he leaves, on Yom Kippur the din applies. And the Gemara said the din applies all year long also, whenever the Kohen Heichal does an Avodah in the Heichal. Kohen Hedid never does an Avodah in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but the Haktoris HaKadoshim is done in the Heichal. So how come there it doesn't apply from the time he goes in to the time that he leaves? So we were talking in the yeshiva, Rav Soloveitchik had a suggestion that could possibly, he didn't mention this, could possibly answer the question. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that there's a major discrepancy between the Nusach Ashkenaz and the Nusach Svart Seder HaAvodah. There are two discrepancies. One discrepancy is that you look in the Cheshek Shlaima in the back of the Vilna Shas, Rav Shlaima Levilna points out this major discrepancy. When did they bring the Tom Shel Bein Abayim? The Mishnayos are so explicit about everything on Yom Kippur, when every Avodah was done, except for Tom Shel Bein Abayim, doesn't say when it was done. So that's a Machlokes Rashi in the Rambam. Was it done in the Avodah was done in five units? So first Big Day Zav, then Big Day Love, and Big Day Zav, Big Day Love, and then Big Day Zav. So it's a Machlokes Rashi in the Rambam, whether the Haktoris Tom Shel Bein Abayim was done in the third unit of Avodah or the fifth unit of Avodah. So the Nusach Ashkenaz follows Rashi, the Nusach Sfat follows the Rambam. So that's what Rav Shlomo Levilna that talks about that, and he has his own suggestion, not like Rashi, not like the Rambam. He has a third possibility. But Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that there's another discrepancy, halacha l'maisa, between the Nusach Ashkenaz, Seder Avodah, the Nusach Sfarad. The Mishnah in Tamid says, every day of the year, when a kohen would be zecher to do any Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, it says when he does his Avodah, Ishtachav Aliyotze, he would kneel on the floor in the Beis HaMikdash, then he would leave. That's a klal that's learned out from the Pasuk by Dikurim, Ishtachav Yisrael Lefnei Hashem Elokecha. After you finish Mikra Bikurim, Avos Bikurim, and Mikra Bikurim, you have to be Mishtachav. So in the Sefer Adervis Aliyoa, Mishnayis Bikurim, they quote from the Vilna Gaon, that's din, the Ishtachav Yisrael Lefnei Hashem Elokecha by Bikurim. It's not miyuchat to be bikur. It's not a chelik of the mitzvah bikur. It's a general universal din. Kol hanichnosim lo azara have to be mishtachle before they leave. So this nusach svard say the avoda has that the kohen gadol all day long is bringing karbonis, many karbonis, 15 or 16 different opinions how many karbonis were brought on Yom Kippur. So the nusach svard it says before he leaves at the end of the day he's mishtachle every yotza like every day a mishnah is tamid. Every kohen that did any sneeze of an avodah was ishtach leviyotz. And Nusach Ashkenaz has the kohen gadol so much barich as doing all the avodahs, and then he leaves and he doesn't do ishtach leviyotz at all. How could that be? Unless the python just made a mistake and he forgot. The Gemara never says one way or the other. But how can it be that the kangaroo is in the Beis HaMikdash all day long? It doesn't do any Hishtachroa. That's the din kol anachnasim lazar. Have to be mishtachva before they leave. So Rav Soloveitchik suggested, based on a Gemara in the first Perek and Chulin, that on Yom Kippurim, not only is there a din, how many karbonos you have to bring, and what order, this has to come first, this is second, this is third, this is fourth, the whole Seder. And a machlokes ha'tanaim, what is the correct Seder of the hakrovos ha'karbonos? Not only is everything mesudadik, you have to do all these karbonos in a specific order, the din requires that the Kohen Gadol should walk from one location to the ox, from the second to the third, from the third to the fourth. The walking, the leaving the first place and going to the next place, is also part of Seder HaVaitim. Because the Gemara discusses the Yotza, the Kohen Gadol leaves the Kodesh HaKadosh and goes into the Echa. And the Mishnah say that he walks out backwards. He doesn't walk out with his back to the Kodesh HaKadosh, he walks back with his back to the Echa. So the Gemara says, but it says v'yotza isn't a normal way to v'yotza to go with your face heading the direction where you're going. So the Gemara says, you see from that practice that the Kohen Gadol always walked out from the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur backwards. You see that that's called derech, that's normal. That's derech halicha, that derech knisa, even though you're walking backwards out of respect for the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you walk out backwards, that's called v'yotza. So the Gemara says, this should apply to other cases also. When the coin is checking the bias on the nuga, the yotzel, pesach habayis, v'izgus habayis, maybe can fulfill the yotzel by walking backwards also. So the Rav Soloveitchik pointed out from the Gemara, it would appear that on Yom Kippur, not only is there a din, which avodas have to be done in which order, first avodah first, second avodah second, third avodah third, there's a din, you have to walk from the first to the second, from the second to the third. So that's what he suggested. Perhaps he didn't have a better answer. Perhaps if the Kohen Gadol will be mishtacha there, at any time in the Seder of the day, before he leaves, maybe that'll be a shinui in the Seder ha'halicha, because the Chumash doesn't say that he should do hishtachva. That's a universal din. Kol anachnasim lazara have to do hishtachva before they leave. So maybe if the Nusach Ashkenaz is to be taken strictly, literally, that the Kohen Gadol didn't do any hishtachva at all on Yom Kippur, maybe that's the reason why. So if you say like that, that it's a special din on Yom Kippur, how the Kohen Gadol has to walk from one location to the other, maybe that answers the kasha that the Malbusha Yantar this. On Yom Kippur, the din applies from the time that he walks into the Echel to the time that he leaves, not only at the time that he's doing the Avoida, he's doing the Haktoris, Haktoris, Lifnai, Velifnim, or he's doing the Haktoris, or the Zrika on the Mizbech HaPnimi. Not only then, no one is allowed to be there from the time that he enters to the time that he leaves, because on Yom Kippur there's a din, the halicha of walking in and walking out, and walking from the first avodah to the second avodah to the third avodah, that's all part of the Seder Hayayim, walking. But all year long there is no such halacha. Walking is part of the Seder Havoid. So maybe that's why all year long that din uchalon liyel boel moed only applied when the kohen who was zeicher with the pious, when he was zeicher to do the haktoras haktoras and the hechal while he's doing the haktora, no one else is allowed to be in the azara. No one else is allowed to be in the hechal at that time. But when he's walking b'vol lechapa ad seisa from the time that he walks into the line walks down, maybe that's only a din on Yom Kippur. That din that would far for the kasha. That din wouldn't apply all year long. That was a possibility. Agnon, Shai Agnon, won a Nobel Award for his literary success. So he wrote short stories, he wrote novels, he wrote a lot of interesting things. He wrote about his, he came from Vichach, he writes about his Adal Tehen, Vichach. But he also wrote a book, Yamim Noraim, it's available in English also. So he quotes a lot of Minhagim, a lot of Dinim, a lot of Minhagim. So I remember seeing there, he quotes everything is a quotation from an earlier source, the Sefer Halacha. He quotes that there were communities in Europe where they had a Kedah, the Dafke, that in between Musaf and Mincha on Yom Kippur, there would be a Hapsoke of a little over an hour in Shul. Everybody had a break of over an hour. Why Zechel HaMikdash? Because in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, when the Kohen Gadol would do the Hagrola, and he would declare, Lashem Chatos, This is the Zohar LaZazel, this is Zohar LaShem. So he would hand over the Zohar LaZazel to the Ishiti, and then it would take the time that it takes to walk 3 milen till the Ishiti would reach Tchilas HaMidbar. It was a distance of 11 milen till he got to the Tzuk. And each mil takes 22 and a half minutes to walk. It's quite a few hours of walk. But Higia LaMidbar was after 3 milen. So the Kohen Gadol hands over the Zohar LaZazel to the Ishiti, and the Kohen Gadol has to stand in there. He's not from the Malchut Bezdavel. He has to stand the whole time for the amount of time of 3 milen. That's 22 and a half minutes times 3. That's over an hour. He has to stand for an hour and 10 minutes until we assume that he gives Hasor LaMidbar. Why? Because of Shilach Be'arishiti HaMidbarah. It says the Shiluach Hasor LaAzazel is done by the Kohen Gadol. So the Kohen Gadol has to stand in the Azara. Has to do the Shiluach LaAzazel HaMidbarah. He doesn't have to stand in Azara the whole time till it's Higi Asor LaTzuk. No. Till he gear the Ishiti, till the Ishiti reaches Tchilas HaMidbar. And the Mishnah says that took an amount of time of 3 milen. So that's why there was such a minig in some communities in Europe. They bedavka had a hapsok in between Musaf and Mincha of over an hour. Zechel HaMikdash, because in the base of Beis HaMikdash, they used to have a pause of over an hour. The Kohen Gadol had to stand. He can't sit. And he had to be in the Azara. It has to be in the Mokam HaRoi LaVayda. The Shiluach HaSor LaZazel is done in the Midbar. Shiluach V'Adi Yishiti HaMidbar. Shiluach HaVdi Yishiti to the Midbar takes place in the Azara. So the Kohen Gadol has to stand till he reaches. Interesting. Then, same thing with the Kohen Gadol is the Lefnai V'Lefnim. And he puts has the kafa machta, so he pours the takes the ktoris from the kaf, puts it in his olachof the ktoris amim daka, and he throws it on top of the gecholim on the machta, which is on the floor. So then he has to stand in the kodesh hakodashim atchis male habayis kulay oshon, and then he's allowed to leave the kodesh hakodashim. What does he have to wait atchis male habayis kulay oshon? The Rambam quotes it like that also. So Rav Dov of the Salveish quotes in the name of Rav Simcha Zelig, who is a dying in Brisk, because it says in the Chumash Kidei Anona in Royal HaKapiris, all year long when you burn Ktoris, and Yom Kippur also you burn Ktoris on the Mizbech HaPnimi, not on the Kodesh, in addition to the Yom Kippur you do burn Ktoris on the floor, on the Machto, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But in addition to that, they did the daily Ktoris in the Mizbech HaPnimi. So they didn't have to wait when the Kohen put the Ktoris on the fire, they didn't have to wait Ad Sheis Mal Abayis Kulo Ashon. When it caught flame, the Avodah was finished, he's allowed to leave. On Yom Kippur, the Avodah of Haktoris, Lefnai, Lefnim, it's Dakam and Adakam. It's different from every day of the year. Every year is Haktoris Amim Dakam, Yom Kippur is Dakam and Adakam. So the Avodah on Yom Kippur is not completed, not Sheis Mal Abayis Kulo Ashon, and the Kohen Gadol has to stand, he can't sit, he has to stand in the Kodesh HaKadoshim until the Avodah will be completed. But it's not completed, and then he can leave. So it's the same thing. There's a Gemara in Zvachim also, I think the first parak in Zvachim, that say a Kohen does Zrika Saddam. Kohen stands far away from the Mizbech, he does Zrika Saddam. And in between the time that he throws the dam to the Mizbech and it lands on the Mizbech, takes a half a second, his finger gets cut off. It becomes a Balmon before it landed, before the dam landed on the Mizbech. So the Gemara says the Avodah is pasul because he's a Balmon. But at the time that he threw the dam, the Zrikas Adam, he was not a Balmon. He became a Balmon before it landed. But it's going to land by itself. He doesn't do anything to cause it to land. The pull of gravity is going to cause it. He did the Avodah of Zrikas Adam when he was a Sholem, when he was not yet the Balmon. But you see from the Gemara that the Avodah is not completed till it actually lands. And if he becomes a Balmon, in between his throwing, his activity, the throwing of the dam, and the landing of the dam on the Mizbeach, the korban is puzzle. You have to have another Kohen do the Zrik all over again. So the same on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol does Shiluach HaSor HaMidbara from the Azara. So the Shiluah HaSor El HaMidbar is not completed till the Sor reaches the Midbar. So the Kohen Gadol has to stand in the Azara until 3 milin later, until an hour and 10 minutes later. Because it took the amount of time of 3 milin to go to the Tchilos HaMidbar. And the same thing the Kohen Gadol does to Akhtaris. Akhtaris Dachman Adach left him in the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur. So that Akhtaris is not completed, the Kima Mitzvah is not, until actually Smali Abayis Kuloi Oshim. So he has to stand and wait in the Kodesh HaKadoshim till actually Smali Abayis Kuloi Oshim. So an interesting thing. Now, so Soloveitchik once mentioned that he had a discussion once with the Dayan in Vilna. The more famous Dayan was Reb Chaim Oizek, but there was an older Dayan than him, Reb Henoch Hegish. He wrote the Tshuvas Marcheshes. He was older than Reb Chaim Moshe, and he outlived Reb Chaim Moshe also. He delivered a Hespin when he passed away. And he was a Talmud of the Beis HaLevi. He writes in the introduction to his Tshuvas, he's not used to the newfangled style of learning, where they analyze everything, and they break everything down to its component parts. He's from the old school he learned by the Beis HaLevi. He doesn't know from all these Chakiris. But he has a lot of modern style Chakiris in his Tshuvas as well, in the Marcheshes. Around Soloveitchik said, he discussed this topic with the Marcheshes. A person is old and feeble and weak. He's observing all the laws of Yom Kippur except for Achil Shtiyah. The doctor says he's not allowed to fast. He's not allowed to fast. So he's eating on Yom Kippur. But he's observing everything else. So can he get an aliyah by Shacharis? Can he get an aliyah by Mincha? So Shacharis, we assume, certainly can get an aliyah. Kriyas HaTorah Shacharis is B'Torah's Yom Tov. So he's observing the Yom Tov to the best of his ability. But the Shaila, what's the Kriyas HaTorah by Mincha on Yom Kippur? Is that B'Torah's Tainas Tzibur? So for Tainas Tzibur, so he's not fasting on Yom Kippur, he's eating, he's allowed to eat. But if it's B'Torah's Tainas Tzibur, then it's not right, you shouldn't get an aliyah. But he's saying, no, the Kriyas HaTorah by Mincha on Yom Kippur is like Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos afternoon. It's not B'Torah's Tainas Tzibur, it's B'Torah's Shabbos. Like Shabbos. And in Bizman HaGemara, they used to have Haftarah on Shabbos to Mincha also. They didn't have Haftarah B'Novi, but Tosis writes in Perek Lamed and Lifnei, they had Haftarah in Ksuvim. They used to have Haftarah in Tehillim. So that's the Shaila. What is the Kriyas HaTorah by Mincha and Yom Kippur? Is it B'Torah's Shabbos? So the fellow is observing Yom Kippur to the best of his ability. Or is it B'Torah's Tainis Sibur? So whoever is not a Misana shouldn't get an Aliyah. So the Marcheshes says this should really depend on the Machlokes, the Mechaber and the Ramah. The Mechaber says when you say the Haftarah on Yom Kippur in the afternoon, you don't end off Magen David. You say Allah Torah, the Allah Yom Kippurim Hazeh. You mention then you end off Melech Alkoros, Mekadoshes of Yom Kippurim. You end off with the Kedushas Yom Kippurim. And the Ramah disagrees. This is a Machlokes in the Mordechai in the Balei HaTosfos. And the Ramah says that the meaning by the Ashkenaz means you end up Magen David. You don't say Allah Torah ve'al ha'avayt. You don't mention that. What's Bashteita Machlokes? What are they fighting about? So that's what the Marcheshes explains. That's what Soloveitchik said over in his name. And it's printed in the Tshuvas. The Shaila is whether the Kriyas HaTorah is the Torah's Tainas Sibur. So the Birchas HaTorah end up with Magen David. Or is it the Torah's Kriyas HaTorah like Shabbos? So in Bizman HaGemara, they used to have a Haftarah by Shabbos afternoon to Mincha also. So if it's B'Torah's Yom Kippur, B'Torah's Shabbos, then you should say the last Baruch HaLa Torah L'Avoida also. So the meaning by the Ashkenazim is that we end off Magen David, and that's why Rav Soloveitchik said they're Minhagim. The two Minhagim, the meaning is that on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, when one gets an Aliyah, you sing the Nigim, Baruch Hu Es Hashem HaMavirach. And the Balkar also lanes with an eerie tune. It's not the regular nusach, not the regular nigin for Kriyas HaTorah. It's an eerie nigin. So the Shaila is, what about the Kriyas HaTorah Yom Kippur afternoon to Mincha? Is that the Torah's tiny sibor? So it's the regular nusach of all year long, a tiny sibor. Is that the Torah's Yom Narayim, the Kriya? So if it's B'Torah's Yom Narayim, then you should have the eerie nigin for the Baruch Hu Hashem HaMavirach and for the Kriyas HaTorah. So Rav Soloveitchik said we should be consistent. But since the common practice by Ashkenazim is that you end off with the Birchas HaTorah with Magen David, So you should learn with the normal niggun for Kriyas HaTorah, not the Yom HaNaroyim Dika niggun. And the one who gets Aliyah should also say the niggun corresponding to the niggun of the Baal Torah with the regular niggun of all year long, not the eerie niggun of Yom HaNaroyim. The Ma'aril writes that all over the world they don't duchen by Ne'ila if they're going to finish Ne'ila in the middle of the night, because the Yerushalmi says at the end of Maseches Tainis that there's no duchening balayla. Only in Frankfurt, he writes in Frankfurt, that's the minig today, Adoyam Azeh. In Breuers, they duchen by Ne'ila, even though it's deep into the night, it's already at night. And all over the world, nobody else duchens in the middle of the night yet. Why shouldn't there be any duchening balayla? Why do they have the Taina against Frankfurt? So they assume the Pasuk says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it says when you bring an egla rufa, you should bring Kohanim, and they should recite Kapale Amcha Yisrael Shepadis Hashem. They should offer the Tefillah, Hashem should forgive the Jewish people. And so it says, you should bring Kohanim, Ki Bobar Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose the Kohanim of the Shorso, Ulevarach Bishma, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Bechiras HaKohanim, to do HaKrovus HaKarbonis L'Shorso, Ulevarach Bishma, and to Duchen as well. And that's what the Gemara says, that since there's a hekesh between duchening and avodah, just like avodah hakarbonos has to be ba'amida in the standing position, so too the duchening should be in the standing position. So that's what all the classical poskim assume, that just like the sharsai, akrovus hakarbonos has to be bayom, the yom tzavos ala'akrov is karbonayim, it can't be makar karbonos at night, so too duchening can't take place at night, because there's a hekesh between duchening, the sharsai, the baruch bishma. How do you defend the minig of Frankfurt that they used to duchen at night? So you look at the Ma'aril, he defends it. Shagazari also has a sefer on Yuma, very strong sefer. Gvura Zari, very stark. And the Gvura Zari, the last page, the last paragraph, the Gvura Zari, the manuscript was cut off, so we're missing the second half of the last paragraph. But it looks like he's beginning to say what the Ma'aril says. So they both say the same thing. There is no such din that you can't be makor kabbalas balayla. The din only is that dalar avodas adam, shchita kabbalah halacha zrika can't be done balayla. When you bring a mincha, there are dalar avodas and a mincha that are parallel to the dalar avodas adam. So the dalar avodas of a mincha cannot be done balayla. But you can have nisach hayayim balayla, you can have haktaris emurim balayla, you can have minchas v'niskeyim, you can be makriv, the minchas nesachim, you can do that balayla. There are avodas that can be done by Lala. Only the dalar avodas adam, or the four parallel avodas by mincha, that are mechuvim keneged the dalar avodas adam, that can't be done by Lala. But other avodas can be done. So just because avodas adam can't be done by Lala, it doesn't follow that duchanin can't take by Lala. Duchanin is compared to akrobus karbonis, but not to the dalar avodas adam. It's compared to avoda, not necessarily dalar avodas adam. So many pleasant ideas to discuss about Yom Kippur. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us all a Gmar Chasim HaToiva. We should all be healthy for many years to come. We should all be Zechet to Mechilas HaOven on Yom Kippur. A good year, everybody. A Gmar Chasim HaToiva. Gmar Chasim
HaToiva. Gmar Chasim HaToiva.
Gmar Chasim HaToiva.
Is it the fact that Mincha, whether something not fasting can happen only at Mincha, not Chasav Sofer has such a tshuva by Tisha B'Av.
Right.
Is that similar?
No, Chasav Sofer raises a point. He's noted to say that the Chacham made a takana to lein on Shabbos, the Betam, and some Gila, and so on. Even if you're not fasting on a Tainus, you may get an Aliyah. We don't follow that, Chasav Sofer. Chasav Sofer thinks that the Tanoi made a takana that you lein Kriyas HaTorah. So it's not doesn't have to be a kiyum of the one who's misana. Even if you're not fasting at all, because you're not healthy, you're not up to it, you can still get an aliyah. It's a chayvus kriyas HaTorah. We're not discussing that possibility. We already don't follow that sheet.
The Rav said that Rav Soloveitchik explained that there's no ishtachavos in between because you're going from one to the other, but there's still the question of why you don't do ishtachavos at the end.
He thought maybe everything from the beginning to the end is one big seder, and you have to do everything step by step. And if you're going to do ishtachavos, that's not on the schedule. Every day there is no schedule. You just you do an avoid and you leave. So right. Before you leave, you have to do a shtakwa. But on Yom Kippur, there's a schedule. So you can't add anything into this gate. That was a chiddush.
Thank you. Kol tov.
Good yar, amen.
Good yar.
Yeah.